Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Amin, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Lisa. I'm a romance author. I live in Arizona with my husband and two kids, ages 5 and 8. And I've been publishing since 2013. Before that, I was a high school teacher and college instructor. And now I'm doing the writing thing full time.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So you've been writing for almost 10 years. It's going to be like 11. I was like, oh, you know, I feel like I'm in 2022. What time?
I know. I actually had to look at that earlier today. It's really funny. I was commenting in an author Facebook group on something and was just saying how like I'm actually ahead in my publishing schedule and I've never have been in my 11-year career. And I looked at the year like 11 years. What did that happen?
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh. And so you probably can see the industry has changed dramatically because I joined the industry in some way. And so back in first leader in 2016. And I saw the dramatic changes that happened between 2016 to 2020,
yes.
2024. And it just continues to sound to me like we were probably run after the 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Kindle Unlimited, you know.
It's actually in before Kindle Unlimited started. That was 2015. And there was KDP Select before then, which was kind of the same idea, but like the first iteration of KU came about in 2015. So
amazing.
Yeah, I've been there from the beginning. I'm a KU author all the way.
Wow, that's amazing. So what has been some of like surprising things you have learned in this journey of being a writer and you doing this that full time for almost for more than a decade?
Yeah. So, well, I've been full time since 2016 when I had my son. Still, that's 8 years, right? That's crazy to think about. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the time goes. But I think the biggest thing I've learned about being a full-time author and this being my career is that like maybe 10% of my day is actually spent writing. And the rest, you wear all the hats as an indie author. So I'm the publisher, I'm the marketer, I'm the advertiser. So I do all these things. I have to make all these decisions with cover design and, you know, communicating to other people. And I have my PA and I have my like TikTok creators and things like that. So it's like you're constantly like running this business and like I'm not a business person. I'm a former English teacher who loves to write books. And so it's just wearing all these different hats and learning all these different things to run a business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all cool to my dog, like just managing. And these people would say, like, oh, I just spent time reading and all of a sudden, you know, the reality is it's so much more work.
Right. And, you know, I always say this, like, I love every aspect of this career. Like, I've enjoyed getting to learn the business side of things. And actually, my husband was a business major in college. And so, like, he has some of that background. So I talked to him about a lot of things. But the one thing that I don't like is editing. Everything else I'm good with. But when it comes to editing, it's like, oh, I got to do this.
Yeah. So you probably love the first, you know, writing the drop in the story, putting it all together. And I was like, oh, no, I got to actually fix the story.
No, I have to read it.
Read it and over until.
Yes, like 100 times.
Oh, my gosh. So you write, tend to write a lot of sports novels. I'd say that's kind of like your bread and butter. So where do readers can get started within your series? Because you have multiple series, multiple universes.
I do. So Home Game is the first sports romance I ever published. And it was actually my 30th book back in 2021 was when I published it. And it's the kickoff of my entire Vegas Aces universe. And so all of the books that I've written since then are related to that team in some way. But now I have a new team, the San Diego Storm, and it is obviously a San Diego team and it's brand new. It came out actually in Wedding the Wide Receiver, which just released a couple weeks ago and 2 weeks ago today, actually. And so it's my new team. And like the Vegas Aces is just like where I started with football. And then we have a spinoff baseball team as well. So if you're into baseball romance, there's that one's Curveball is where you start with that. But what I used to do is when I first started was I did 5 book series. So the home game, the series that starts with home game, first Vegas Aces series, follows the same couple through 5 books. And each book ends in a cliffhanger. It is available in a box set. For those of you who can't stand that. So it's available in one volume and it's all in Kindle Unlimited too. So that series is Vegas Aces. So it starts with home games. So that's where I recommend starting. However, if you like standalones, I just started publishing the Nash Brothers series, which the first book is Dating the Defensive Back, and that's a standalone. So it's like the whole story told in one volume instead of the 5 book series, just to try something different. Cause I actually have 8 5-book series out now, which sounds like this crazy world, right? To have all these books. I have 40 books in that series, but they're all like little standalone series. So you don't have to read. You can start anywhere, you know, you want to. So really, I'd recommend if you like standalone, start with Dating the Defensive Back. And if you like series, then start with Home Game.
And then let's head back from your old back list. Because you have more.
Even more.
Where can they lead us and get started? Like, which ones do you recommend for them to, you know,
to start with?
Once you're like, okay, I need a book with sports. Give me something else.
Okay. Before I wrote sports, I was rock star romance, actually. And that's actually not even where I got my beginning. My first 6 books I unpublished because I felt like they didn't represent my brand anymore, which feels like so much work now. But I have 73 books out at this point. So I know I'll keep you busy for a while, right? Except for those first 6. But I would recommend starting the Rockstar World starts with A Little Like Destiny. And that is a trilogy. And it does have, it's a love triangle. So I know a lot of people are very like, no love triangles. So if you don't like love triangles, don't start there. But that's kind of where my rock star started, was A Little Like Destiny. And it's a love triangle between this English teacher, because, you know, write what you know, and a rock star who she just had the one night stand with. And then she meets this other guy and starts dating him. And he's this big CEO. Well, he turns out to be the rock star's brother. So it's a love triangle with brothers. So that's a fun one. And then if you prefer standalones, because that's a trilogy with cliffhangers. If you prefer standalones, I have my favorite band series. So it's the MSB series. And that starts with Take My Heart. And I actually just got illustrated covers for those. So I'm re-releasing those and a little bit of a fresh edit on some of them too. So that start with Take My Heart. That's also available in a box set on KU. So that's just called My Favorite Band, the complete series. So that's a fun one. It's each book is a standalone on a different member of the band.
How do you write it so much? Like, what's the schedule? Like, what does it look like for you? Is it only the same, or is it some structure? Is it just like, you know, some discipline and showing up, or?
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Yeah, you had 10%. It's writing and the wax is just banding the biffles, you know.
So I've always had a goal to write 2,000 words a day. Doesn't always happen, especially on weekends. You know, I've got 2 kids, 5, like I told you before, 5 and 8. So they keep me really busy, especially on weekends. But I also have a husband who's very supportive of this career, and he's really good at like inventing time for me to work. So, you know, he'll take the kids to the park for an hour and give me a Saturday afternoon to get something done and things like that. So like we work really well together to invent time for that. But so my writing goal is 2,000 words a day, but I'm actually a really fast writer and I've started doing dictation. So I'll take a walk around, do the kids go to bed and dictate. And it's really, that's been a game changer for me because I can write like twice as many words in the same amount of time. Especially if I can multitask. Like I'm a big multitasker. So if I can take a walk and get a little exercise while I'm writing, because I'm dictating, then that makes it go even faster. So that's been working out really well for me. Yeah, I don't know. So just for me, it's really like having that goal and trying to hit that goal every day of getting at least 2,000 words.
So how does dictating work? Is it just sending yourself like
long podcast episode, like voice memos to yourself, and then probably just dial it or
so my right. Absolutely. Yeah. I have an app called the Dictate app. I have an iPhone, so it's the Dictate app. And so I've been using that for probably a year and a half or so. And like you just hit record and your screen has to be on, but then you can just talk to it and it'll transcribe your words as you're talking. So I don't do a lot of punctuation when I'm dictating. I go back through and add that in after the fact. So like I have to clean it up after I do that, but it also records your voice. So if you miss a word or it doesn't translate it correctly or transcribe it correctly, you can go back and listen to that spot. But I live in Arizona where it's like 115 outside on a normal day. And I've noticed if I'm walking and my phone starts getting hot, it'll skip. Like it won't pick up everything I'm saying. So I started, this is more recent, that same app has a transcribe feature. So I've started just doing voice recordings on my phone and then uploading it to the Dictate app and it'll transcribe it for me. So that's been working out really well for me. And I've noticed too, like, if I can like fold laundry and dictate or, you know, like do stuff around the house and dictate, but I can't, for some reason, I'm really weird like this. I can't dictate in the house if my husband's home and he works from home too. So if he's like out doing a project in the field, whatever, he's not at home, I can get all kinds of stuff done. I'm like cleaning the house and getting 2,000 words and whatever. But if he's home, it's harder. So I'll usually walk outside and do it. I don't know. I just can't like have somebody listening to me while they're doing it.
I understand. So I'm taught to send voice bumps in here. So I'm like, mini podcast episodes to my friends. I have like pretty outlandish close people friends who will send each other like 10 to 15 minute messages. And I live by myself. So I just go on my own walk and I just like do my own thing and all stuff. But when I'm traveling and I'm actually at home with my family, I cannot do this. I'm like, I felt so weird. First of all, my family's in Puerto Rico, so I speak Spanish. So I can't speak in English. I'm like, there's something to be said about like having an audience, like even though you're sending it to someone, you know, like even to my friend, like a voice message, it's still like, I don't want the audience to be like, then there's an outside audience to understand what is happening.
Right. Yeah, totally. You get it.
I get it. So, awesome. So it's part of the wedding, the wine receiver. It's a hangover, Vegas marriage. We're not sure what just happened. And both are a little bit forbidden because we have He was engaged to her sister's guy, even though she was like not the right babe. We gotta be honest, it was not the right babe. What if the other would have pitched?
So I actually have a prequel story, and I don't know. I think I put it up on my website, but it was in a little anthology where it's called "The Night We Met," and it's when Grace meets Spencer, and it's supposed to be like her cousins introducing the two of them, but then her sister Amelia swoops in and steals him, you know, because that's what Amelia does. And she's very selfish. And we learned that very early on in Wedding the Wide Receiver. And so Grace kind of always had this crush on him, but obviously didn't act on it because he was dating her sister and then got engaged to her sister. Well, when Wedding the Wide Receiver starts, he's breaking up with her sister. And so like he's really, well, actually, when it starts, it's like the morning after the wedding. And then, you know, it's like neither of them knows what happened. They're totally hungover. And so then it backtracks in time and we back up and learn a little bit about the history between them and, you know, how they met and stuff. And it leads up to the wedding. Then it's from her point of view. So the first chapter is his point of view. I think it's chapter 16 is her point of view, same morning when they wake up and don't know what's going on and stuff. And so it was really kind of fun with that dynamic of the little bit of forbidden where she's, you know, getting involved with her sister's ex, but it's like they've become really good friends over the last couple of years that they've known each other. So there's something there for them already, like a strong base for them already. And then she finds out there's this secret clause in her grandma's will that says whoever's married first for a year, which I mean, we all know is like not realistic, right? People don't do that, but it's fiction. Like we go with it because that makes it fun, right? So whoever gets married first and stays married for a year will inherit the family vineyard. And this is like Grace's lifelong dream is to run this vineyard. And so when she finds out how horribly Amelia was treating Spencer, she flies out to Vegas to see him and tell him what she knows and say, hey, I got a plan for how we can get revenge on my sister. And they get drunk. They have an allergic reaction. One thing leads to another and they wind up married. So
what else being asked for?
I know.
Vegas, like, you know, It is perfection.
Well, thank you. I think that it was, it's so fun. And I mean, you know, Vegas Aces, obviously I'm a fan of Vegas. Like I write a lot of stuff in Vegas, but it's just like, you know, it's like a fun little fantasy land, right? To write about too. So.
And I mean, so what can we expect back to the Wedding YMCA from this fall? Like which books are on the queue now that you're affected?
Yes. So up next is, and it's already done and actually being recorded right now in audio, is Tempting the Tight End, which is the fourth Nash brother, actually, but the third book in the Nash brother series. And that's Asher. He's the youngest brother and he's kind of our wild card. Like we don't know. So Spencer from Wedding the Ride Receiver is like the logical, responsible, serious one, the one you would never think is going to go to Vegas and get married drunk, right? That's his story. But the next one is Asher, and he's the one you would expect that from. And he's not how he is. So his story is a coach's daughter, which had been very confusing for people because the head coach of his team is his older brother. So people are like, well, wait a minute. How can he hook up with the coach's daughter? They get a new offensive coordinator, and it's that man's daughter who he has a little one night stand with, doesn't know who she is. And when they meet again, it's under the circumstances where he finds out who she is. And then that's also a forbidden one because you don't mess with your coach's daughter, right?
Yeah.
But he falls fast and he falls hard. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, super exciting. And then we got the San Diego Swan series. That's like the next year, like the next.
Yeah, that'll be coming next after. Yeah.
Love that.
I actually I haven't announced it yet, but I have a surprise Christmas book coming. That is a spinoff with some characters people have been asking for from Dating the Defensive Back. So I'm not going to say who, but you'll get to see some characters you know in that one. So that's coming in December. Tempting the Tight End is October 3rd. And then my Christmas book will be December 2nd.
So you're going to keep us busy.
Yes.
You know, for the next like couple of years. Just
For sure.
It's perfect. You know,
for sure. Well, then the one I'm writing now is coming in March, and then the one after that's coming next June. So I already have like half the year planned for next year.
There we go. Oh, amazing. Lisa, tell us what we'll find online.
Yeah, authorlisasuzanne.com is my website, and I try to keep that up to date with all the latest news and events I'm attending and things like that. My Facebook reader group is just Team LS, Lisa Suzanne's reader group. I'm probably most active in there. And also my newsletter. I send that once a week. All the links for all those places are on my website, too.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa, for being in the show.
Yes, this was so fun.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit watchreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.